Mike Manis, Monterey County Commissioner, District 2.
There you go. That sounds fine. So let's start with just a bit of your background. Maybe talk about, I don't know how long you've been a commissioner there. Maybe talk about how long you've been on the commission. And I guess you could talk, too, about maybe what you think some of your biggest accomplishments have been in that time frame.
I was appointed as county commissioner in 2012. Took office on November 5th of that year. Elected to retain that spot in 2013, and reelected for a four-year term in 2014.
Okay, what were in that time frame that you've been on the commission? What would you say some of your biggest accomplishments have been?
I think representing the timber industry would be one of them, and working with the U.S. Forest Service to try to get healthier forest and improve jobs in our community. We've got a lumber mill in this community, Vaughan Brothers, that is operating one shift, and because close to 60% of the land in Pondere County is U.S. Forest Service, and they haven't had the harvest, the management on the national forest that should be, working with the Forest Service and with the environmental groups to come up with more sustainable harvest and create a healthier forest, as well as create jobs, has been one of the focal points of my time as a commissioner. Another thing that I've done, I work a lot on healthcare issues, the integration of mental health and chemical dependency or substance use disorder with physical health. I sit on the board in Spokane of Better Health Together. So that has been a major time consumer, and something that I believe in is very, very important.
And what is Better Health Together? I've heard that. What is the main effort of that group?
Better Health Together is a regional, represents six counties, and regional accountable community of health that was formed by the state. It was actually something that came out from the governor's office, as well as appropriated through our legislators at the state level. The main thing is to look at, number one, integration, number two, the opioid crisis, and establishing community health workers that will help navigate the system for people on the Medicaid system, which has been a real problem in the past. So we've made a lot of headway. We will actually be going into full integration 1st of 2019. As a county commissioner, there is one slot on Better Health Together board for a county commissioner out of six counties, and I was elected by the board to represent on that.
Okay.
For the six counties.
Right. So what, you know, I mean, and we'll talk about the smelter here in a sec, because I know that's probably the main thing that the opponents talked about. But so as far as if you were reelected, what would your main priorities be? And you can, you know, talk about the smelter too, if that's part of it. But what would you, you know, looking to the future, what kind of things would you want to work on?
What I just talked about.
Okay.
Healthcare.
Yeah.
One of my number one focuses. The other focus would be on economic development, whether it be the smelter or other jobs having to do with Forest Service or bringing another industry into our community. Are the biggest problems we face in Pondere County, one of the biggest is poverty.
You know, when you
poverty comes on.
Go ahead. Okay. I was going to say, because we probably don't want to dwell too long on each statement if we're going to try to keep this to 10 minutes or so. But I'm thinking, too, when you talked about the timber harvest and such, and I know this Northeast Forestry Coalition has worked to, you know, try to reach compromises, too, between environmentalists and the industry. Has that been pretty successful up there? And I'm thinking in terms of not just, like you're saying, increasing maybe the harvest, but what about, aren't you also, your county probably is at kind of dealing with the whole thing about you need to get taxes from the timber sales to help support schools and the like. Do you have that issue up there?
Oh, definitely. I've been to Washington, D.C., speaking for, actually I was invited by Maria Cantwell to come back and speak to the Senate on SRS funding, Secure Rural Schools, which is funding for schools in the community and our roads, our county roads, which lead to the national forest.
Do you see that there probably will be increased harvest in your community in part through the efforts of the Northeast Forestry Coalition or just overall discussions with the federal government?
Yes. I believe that that is coming. There's already the harvest for the Colville National Forest has increased. I think the final harvest this year will probably be almost three times what it was 5 years ago.
Mm. And is that in
but
part
still
just
not to a sustainable level?
Okay. Well, let's jump to this, the whole smelter issue, because there, you know, I need you to respond to some of the things these folks have said. But so, I mean, the smelter to you, you continue to support it, I'm assuming, and maybe talk about that, why you think it's a good deal for the community.
Well, I support the smelter as long as it passes through the Department of Ecology. As county commissioners, we ask the Department of Ecology to be the lead agency on this, because they have the expertise that we don't in our small county. We also have asked the Department of Health to do a health impact assessment on what the smelter would do to the health of our people. And we asked for a weather monitoring station, meteorological station, to be put on site so we have local data for the permitting process.
Right. Okay.
So yes, I'm for it if it passes all these things. If it doesn't pass, I don't want it either.
Gotcha. And economy-wise, if it were to pass muster, you know, with ecology and all that stuff, what kind of benefits? I mean, how many jobs do you anticipate it might bring to the county and so forth?
Well, there'd be 150 direct jobs. There's a 5-to-1 multiplier, so that's another 750 jobs. Some of those would be businesses out of Spokane, you know, possibly Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. But the large majority of those would be in the local community with our railroad, which is a short line, and the trucking industry. There's going to be some trucking need to happen. Most of it will be by rail. But with the trucking, there's going to be suppliers to them. There's going to be restaurants. There's going to be gas stations. Because some of those people will be, the majority of them will be hired from local. Some of those people will be brought in because a smart business only, they start with people that they brought in because they've worked in the industry. And I know the plan is to bring people in for a couple of years. And there's teams that do this. And then turn it over to the locals that have been trained. So the boost to the economy would be insurmountable. It's just something that is needed in the area, and one of the reasons that I have worked towards working with the Hi-Test or PacWest Silicon to get them to locate here, along with, you know, the main reason they're coming here is because of the inexpensive power.
Mm-hmm.
Through the PUD.
Right.
But part of it is infrastructure needs and so on, which we've got a great fit for those needs.
Now, both the other candidates talked about a couple of hoops that they say haven't been met yet in terms of, and that's, you probably know where I'm going with this, and they say that the city doesn't have an answer to this, so maybe you can talk about this, but that was the problem to get access to water and sewer. That's still a kind of a big issue. Do you think that can be overcome?
Yes. I think that that is, I don't know this for sure because I haven't talked to the company or the city, but I think that why would anybody spend millions of dollars to find out in the end that you can't get access to water and sewer?
Right. And the company itself, I mean, part of the money obviously has come from the Department of Commerce. Has PacWest spent a lot of money already on the process? Do you know?
Millions from what I've been told.
Okay. Did it concern you at all, because this got brought up too, that the PacWest folks have never done a smelter yet and they're kind of, you know, postulating that they can do it, but they don't really have any practical experience in that regard?
No, it doesn't concern me at all because of the people that they have working for them. And one of the partners in PacWest has been involved in nearly all of these smelters that have gone in the last 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he's a major piece of it. He's a chemical engineer and used to work for Dow Corning. He's smart as they come. So he knows what to do. He knows how to get one together. He knows how to operate it. And the thing that I've seen with PacWest is that they are willing to spend the money to hire the right people to do the job for them.
Okay. So talk a bit then, too, about, I know there's this legal challenge that Norm Semenko had filed. And, you know, you don't have to go into too much great detail, but I'm just, I guess what you're doing here is probably responding to the critics' comments about the, quote, improper deal with the sale of the land, you know, from the county to PUD and stuff. Do you want to address that for just a moment? I mean, do you think that's a big obstacle? And do you agree that maybe the procedures weren't followed adequately?
You know, because we're in litigation, I've got to be very cautious on what I say.
Right.
You can understand that.
I have run into that in numerous stories in my career, right? Yeah, when it's in litigation, I understand.
I will just say that we used all the experts at the county, including our legal counsel, when the property was sold, and we feel like we did everything to sell the property according to the laws of the state of Washington.
Okay. That works for me. What, and then I guess this is maybe the final question, but I'm going to let you address anything else you want to talk about. So you probably heard what your critics are saying. So one of the two candidates I spoke with said that they were really not so happy with what they call the lack of transparency in regard to the deal, that the county kind of, this in general, they said the county was set on doing the deal at the Newport site from the get-go rather than Addy or Usk, and that they, you know, looked through a lot of documents and felt like the community was kind of being led on, saying that wasn't the initial intention and the like. Could you talk a little bit about just the overall transparency issue then?
Anytime a new business is coming to your community, you're courting that business, and really you're not doing things behind closed doors, but you have to be very cautious because that business doesn't want everything out who it is. It doesn't matter what the business is that's coming. And so from an economic development standpoint, you need to be very cautious. Our director of economic development works on a lot of projects that nobody knows about except the chair of her board. And that is just the way economic development works. As far as us being set on the Newport property when PacWest first came to the county, we didn't even think about the Newport property. And they actually left and went to Addy. And then PUD said, well, we've got this piece of property, doesn't have rail to it, but could have rail to to it. And so we started looking at other pieces of property, including two sites in Ione, or one site in Ione, I mean, and one site in Middling Falls, one site within about a half a mile of my house on Highway 20, and the site in next to Newport. And actually showed PacWest those properties. And they decided, not we decided, they decided that the Newport site was the best site.
Mm-hmm. Did, here's a quick kind of follow-up question to that too, because Cheryl Miller, I think, was the one that mentioned to me that the Commerce Department's intentions for the money were, to try to site it in a former or a, quote, more appropriate industrial site. And so, and I'm assuming that's why they looked at Addy at first, but I'm not so sure she has her information correct, because she kept mentioning that it should have been a quote, Superfund site. And that didn't really sound logical to me. Do you know more about that, or is that completely incorrect?
There was nothing to ever in the grant that PacWest got, or the grant that the county got, that was directed towards a Superfund site. It was directed towards economic development, doing some planning, which we have done. We were just about ready to finish on the Usk Cusick area, which would have been the Pondere newsprint site. And so that is inaccurate, as most things that come out of her mouth are.
Yeah. Would they, and this is one thing I asked the other candidate too. He mentioned that he would be more likely, and I guess you've already looked at all these sites, but he said he would be more likely to support a site that was maybe still in Pondere County, but further out of town. I mean, and I think he's thinking of the environmental impact, but he thought if there was another appropriate site somewhere else in the county, that he would support it. But it sounds like you guys have pretty much looked at all the appropriate sites. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Because, I mean, I know some people...
The ones that we're aware of, but there could be private property somewhere that somebody says, we've got it. But one of the things you've got to look at is power grid and what is available and cost to get power to a site. That's one of the major things that goes into it, because it's expensive. And another major thing is workforce. In the Ione north end of our county, I'll just say, we just don't have much of a workforce up there left. Most of the people are gone. We've got Pondere Mine that is operating right now. We don't know how long they're going to be in existence, but currently the workforce is actually in the Newport area. And also the road infrastructure. You get further north you get, the narrower the roads get, and I know that PacWest was concerned about that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and on the electrical subject, I know that, PUD was hoping they could, provide the power, but then I know that when I talked to PUD folks, they had mentioned that this plant would definitely use more power than they could even provide, so it would actually, some of it or most of it would have to come off the grid. So I'm just kind of throwing that back as the follow-up as far as you're talking about the power requirements and how Newport was more ideal.
Well, that is true, that the majority of the power would come off the grid. However, the power buying it off the grid right now is cheaper than what we can produce through Box Canyon Dam.
Mm-hmm.
So, and because of the efficiencies of the PUD and it being a government entity and not a for-profit business like Avista, they can actually supply power cheaper than what other areas can supply, even though they're buying off the grid as well.
Oh, okay. Okay. And is there access to power at that site? I mean, would it be an issue to bring the power into the proposed site?
No, there's access, there's power within a mile of it. Actually, there is a BPA power line that runs right on the edge of the site, but they would probably bring power from another location in Newport.
Okay.
As I understand it, unless something's changed. But I don't have anything to do with that. I just know what the initial discussions were.
Okay. And I thought of one more thing, and again, this is from Cheryl Miller, and it had to do with trying to bring in, you know, other types of business, which I know all three candidates have talked about that. But she mentioned something about a condo development, and I can't off the top of my head remember the name of it. And she said it was turned down by the county because it, you know, didn't fit the comprehensive plan because they wanted to go to 5-acre tracts and the limit was 10 in that location. But then, I mean, she was trying to make the comment something along the lines that she felt that if the comp plan, you know, was going to be changed, that it would probably be more appropriate to change it for, you know, these condos rather than, because doesn't the comp plan have to be changed somewhat for the smelter anyway?
Well, we're in a required comp plan update right now. We have to have it finished by 2020, which is takes a long time to do a large comp plan update. So we're just getting going on that. Mm-hmm. And as far as the comp plan, what she's talking about, that is more the Growth Management Act that would prohibit something like that from happening. But that is one of the things that we're going to be looking at in the comp plan adjustment, seeing if we can get some relief from the Growth Management Act in order to, we need to grow our county. And, you know, as much as I love the county the way it is, if we don't start growing, we won't be here in 20, 30 years.
Okay, so that was part of the...
We won't be able to afford it.
Gotcha, okay. And that was part of the UGA thing about the 10-acre plots, probably.
Right, and some of it's 5 acres, some of it's 10 acres. I mean, there's places that are R40, which if it's R40, you can put an industrial site on R40 in this county. We do not have zoning.
Okay.
We're working on sub-area plans for the FQCIC area. Like I said, that one's almost completed. The next one we plan on doing is for the, so to speak, the Diamond Lake area, but expanding that to a larger swath so that people, when they buy a piece of property, actually know what they can do with it without having to go through a conditional use permit, so that they know when they buy the property, yes, I can do this with this property.
And is that is it the conditional use permit that has to be changed slightly or changed somewhat for the siting of this smelter then? Is that the thing that needs to be changed still?
No, the only thing we've done for the conditional use permit at this point is we've gone to a hearings examiner, which instead of a planning commission, making the determination on whether or not somebody that asks for a conditional use permit, if it fits in our community, if it is legal, quite honestly, what they want to do with that piece of property. And the hearings examiner, we're now one of 35 of the 39 counties that is going to be using or that uses a hearings examiner rather than a planning commission. And most of that is to make sure that everything that we do is done legally.
Okay. Hey, I think I've got enough, and I probably kept you a little longer than I said, but I always ask this at the end. What did I not ask you about, just either related to the smelter or your campaign or the like, that you'd like to add that I didn't ask you?
I think we covered things fairly well. You know, my main reason for running, if I didn't run, I'm 66 years old, I've gone Social Security, and if I didn't run financially, it is no hardship for me. I'm fairly well set in life. But I think that I'm running for the people in our county. and I've got overwhelming support from the people, with the exception of the people that are dead set against the smelter. And last night I got a overwhelming, it was actually 100% of the Republican Party for Monterey County endorsed me.